Well, let's turn our hearts to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, as we continue our series on Is My Faith My Walk? And beloved, if you're not catching the theme and the flow of these messages, it confronts the issues we're going through today. You need faith to walk through all of this stuff. Because if you go through this stuff by your sight, you're going to lose focus. You may lose your faith. If you put your faith in what you see, you may lose your faith in God. You may lose your faith in his goodness, in his mercy, in his kindness, because you're putting your faith and confidence in those things that overwhelm your heart and confuse your mind and make you stumble in your walk. We're to put our trust in the Lord. And God has a way of causing all things to work together for our good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. So we thank God for his sovereign care, for his gracious hold on our lives, for his amazing faithfulness to us. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful still. Well, if you find that passage, Hebrews chapter 11, please stand as a sign of reverence and honor for the word of God. Praise God for all the saints that are here this morning in the house of the Lord. And there is a word from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, word of God reads as follows. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father God, you know the cries of our hearts this morning. You know what we stand in need of, even in ways that we cannot ascertain. And we pray for your divine providence to overshadow the situations of our lives. And we pray that your spirit will hold us steady and keep us on this path of faith, knowing that you are in control of all of the circumstances that life may throw our way. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, for you are the author and perfecter of our faith. And like Jehoshaphat, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Bless your word as it goes forth. Bless your people as they receive it. May you be glorified, Lord, and may it benefit their walk with you today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we want to talk about, from our theme, this thought, when by faith is my walk. When my faith is my walk. When you hear of Hollywood couples who are famous, attractive, and rich, who cannot stay together in a lifetime relationship called marriage, you wonder. You wonder because externally they have all the things that this world calls success. They have beauty or bronze. They have fame and fortune. They have all the things that poorer couples would say, we can't do something because we don't have this or that. But they have all the elements that seem to would make a successful marriage. But you wonder, do they understand that marriage is a commitment? Do they understand that feelings come and feelings go? Do they understand that the real business of love, listen to me, is sacrificial? Yes. It's unconditional. See, the same can be said of a relationship with God. There are times when you feel great joy, passion, and excitement about being a Christian. And then there are times when you don't feel it at all.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean you say, well, that's it. I'm not going to follow Christ anymore. The Bible doesn't say the just, in Romans 10:17, shall live by feelings or the just shall live by reasoning, or the just shall live by perspectives or opinions, or the just shall live by attitudes as they ebb and flow. Rather, it says, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Feelings change. But walking with God takes faith. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. So the Bible tells us about a man who walked with God for many years. His name was Enoch. And I want to look at some secrets from his life that we can apply to our own lives that will help us to maintain this kind of faith walk, a committed, consistent walk with God. In the whole of the Bible, only five passages refer to Enoch, two which are genealogies. Although we don't find a lot written about Enoch, what we do have is significant. In Genesis 5, 21 through 24, it tells us that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. And then he had more sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch lived during a unique time of human history. And the reason why it was so unique, it was called the antediluvian world. The world before the deluge, the flood. In this world before the flood, people lived to be 960 years old or more. The effects of sin was slowly being transmitted through the human race. The world, the climate was different then. A time before, just before God's judgment in Genesis 6 of that worldwide flood, and it was a global flood. He lived just before that. And against this very dark backdrop was a man who walked, who lived. His behavior, his conduct, his affections, and his attitude was with God. And he was spared death. Enoch is a prototype of the last day believer, showing us how to live in the last days as we await the second coming of Christ. Because you know, we live in the last days. The last days began when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and resurrected from the dead. He ascended and went back to glory. He sits at the right hand of the Father. We're living in the last days. Why? Because we're waiting on the second return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So what set Enoch apart? How was he able to live godly in an ungodly world? How could he remain blameless and upright and eschew evil and desire God more than the world around him? In a time that was characterized, according to the Bible, by sexual perversion and uncontrolled violence. We find three important principles at work in Enoch's life that we can apply to our own lives today. The first principle, and we may just get to this one. My faith is my walk. When I walk, here it is, in agreement with God. Oh, that word agreement is rich, beloved. Because my faith is my walk when I am in agreement with God. Yes, sir. The analogy of walking in the Christian life is used throughout Scripture. But what does it mean to walk with God? It is not merely living by rules and regulations or making daily resolutions that we quickly break the next day. It is much more than that. The prophet Amos revealed in Amos 3:3 an important truth about what it means to walk with God when he asks, do two walk together unless they have agreed? The word he used for was together. Together gives the idea of two people moving in rhythm together, as in riding a tandem bicycle. Have you ever been on a tandem bicycle? It's difficult to get with the rhythm and the flow. You got to work together to make it work. But it is not about getting God into rhythm with us. It is getting ourselves in rhythm with God. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking about agreement. Because you're thinking, if your opinion or your perspective is more persuasive, then that person should agree and go with you. Because you're more persuasive and more strong in expressing your opinion. That seems to override their perspective and their opinion. So they just say, I agree. They give in because they have no other place to go. That's not how we work with God. When we go to the Lord, we are to agree with his perspective. We are to agree with his assessment. We are to agree with what he calls reality. So if you're going to be a true man of faith and a true woman of faith, you must agree with God's reality.
Yes, sir.
About what, preacher? About everything in life.
That's right.
About everything in life.
That's right.
Everything in life. So Paul uses the Greek word peripateo, which is the word for walk, is the word for live, is the word for conduct, is the word for behavior, to move in step, in cadence, and in rhythm with the Holy Spirit.
It's
like a platoon of soldiers walking and responding to the call and the sound of the drill sergeant to march to his cadence. Galatians 5:25 tells us, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step. That's the word. That's cadence. I'm marching to the beat of the Holy Spirit. I'm not walking to the beat of the flesh. I'm not walking to the beat of my own opinion or my own analysis or my own assessment on life. I'm walking to the beat of the revealed word of God, of the inspired word of God, the immutable word of God. My steps are being ordered by the Lord, and they're not being ordered by what I can see. They're being ordered by someone that I can't see, but I believe in him, and I trust what he revealed in his word, and I walk by that word. I step in rhythm and in beat with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, if we walk by the Spirit, we won't satisfy the desires of the flesh. Instead of walking in the rhythm with the flesh, I'm walking in the rhythm of the Spirit. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Beloved, my faith is my walk when I am in agreement with God, with God's reality, with God's point of view, with God's assessment on life. In Jude 14 and 15, Enoch, and it's revealed here to us, that Enoch was foretelling what God foretold concerning the second coming of Christ. That's amazing. We're talking about the antediluvian world, the world before the flood. The Holy Spirit deposited in the spirit of this man named Enoch to proclaim New Testament theology in an Old Testament context. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He was preaching the second coming without mentioning the resurrection. Amazing. Enoch, I'm saying with that word agreement, Enoch was in agreement with God's revelation. Stop there. You can be in agreement with God without understanding God. I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to agree with you if I don't understand what you're saying. Well, that's what we do on this horizontal relationship. But you can't do that on the vertical relationship. You can't say, I'm not going to agree with God because I don't understand. That's not faith. That's reasoning. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by reasoning. We walk by revelation. So, beloved, I would venture to say that Enoch did not understand what he was preaching. But he agreed with God that it should be preached because it was from God. What I'm trying to tell you is that Enoch was living in agreement with God. And you can live in agreement with God even though you have to deal with death. Because the Bible says, though you die, yet shall you live if you believe that he is the resurrection and life. And you're going to see things happen around you that's going to make you rethink what you thought you believed. But you don't have to understand everything you see. And you don't have to understand everything God says. What you must do is believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder to them who diligently seek him. So don't think walking by faith or walking in agreement with God means understanding God. Because God will blow your mind. So Enoch proclaimed, he prophesied the revealed truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. To walk by faith is to walk in cadence and beat and in rhythm with the Holy Spirit according to the revealed word of God. Beloved, the one who walks by faith is walking and living in agreement with God's reality, not their reality. They are walking in God's truth, not their truth. There is a cultural mantra today that says, speak your truth. Say your truth. As though your truth is relevant to all the other truths that are out there. If you hear the world talk about speak your truth, it's contradictory to what the other truth was. Truth can't contradict truth.
Correct.
There's only one truth. Those are opinions they're speaking. They may be convictions that they have, but it is not truth. Because when my truth contradicts your truth and your contradicts her truth and her truth contradicts his truth, y'all ain't speaking truth. Y'all speaking opinions. You're speaking experience. You're speaking your emotions. You're speaking what you went through. Everyone doesn't go through what you go through. So to agree with God is not to have Paul's experience. To agree with God and walk by faith is not to have Stephen's experience. To walk with God is not to have Moses' experience. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's not to have your grandmama's experience or your brother's experience. It's for you to take the truth of God's word and apply it to your heart and put it in shoe leather and walk it out each day when you don't feel like it. The man and woman of faith is called to speak the truth that God has spoken, not the truth they want to speak. We speak the truth that God has spoke beforehand. Prolegomena. What he revealed beforehand. Well, where is the prolegomena? Where is the stuff that God spoke beforehand? He wrote it down. It's called the Bible. It's called the scriptures. It's the inspired, infallible, immutable word of God. It is the word that gives life and brings life. It is the word that teaches us to live life. The walk of faith is about getting God's people to live in agreement with God's revealed truth. This is so hard to do. Look, number one, it's hard on the individual level to get you to truly live your passions, your attitudes, your desires, to place all that in alignment with God's word and then walk that out.
Yeah.
That's hard on the individual level.
Yeah.
And it's more difficult to teach that on the corporate level, right? Because everyone is at a different place in their walk with God, in their faith in God.
Yes, sir.
And their knowledge of God is not the same as the next person's knowledge of God. That's why Bible study in the church community and preaching and teaching is so important to our growth. It's important to the stability of our faith and the strength of our faith and the ability of our faith to press through and endure difficult circumstances.
Yes.
How did Job make it through? Faith in God.
Yeah.
Was anything special about Job? Job had his faith in the right object.
Mm-hmm.
And that object, who was the eternal God, providentially and sovereignly brought Job through his trials. Some believe those trials last from 6 to 9 months, that he had to endure what he had to endure. It's faith in God that mobilizes the spirit and moves the will and the mind and the emotions towards truth. To walk by faith is to walk in cadence and in beat and rhythm with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's one way you can see it. The walk of faith is about getting God's people to live in agreement with God revealed truth. In the area, number one, a prayer. Because that's the area we struggle the most in. And I'm going to tell you why we struggle with prayer. It's because we see prayer as a means to get from God our happiness. Not a means which God gets his will done in our lives. You know what I'm saying? So prayer to me on a human level is the means through which I can reach to heaven and bring down all of heaven's blessings to me here on earth. When in actuality, prayer is really the means by which God uses to reach down his divine purposes to touch my life so God can get his business done on the earth.
That's so true.
And this is where we struggle between his will and our will. Because our prayer life, here it is, should be in agreement with the revealed will of God. Look, when we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to pray and should pray, guess what we should say? Let your will be done. But that's not what we say. We're trying to twist God on our knees. We're trying to twist God in our prayer life to get him to do something he has not ordained that he would do. But we can say, Lord, if it's your will, do this for sister so-and-so. Do that for brother. If it's your will, Lord. Because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to pray. But Romans 8 teaches us that the Holy Spirit, I think it's verse 25, 26, 27, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And he speaks to God with language we can't understand. He speaks the heart of God to God about our condition. And God responds favorably according to his will. Matthew 16, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, to walk by faith is to pray in agreement with the revealed will of God. That's the only way you're going to get your prayers answered.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said in John 14, I think it's 12 and 13 or 13 and 14, he said, and when you pray, ask the Father that the Father may be glorified through the Son. If the Father is glorified through the Son, then you received what you prayed. That means if you're walking in agreement with his will. If you're praying in agreement with his will, that's what that means. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer about what he wanted, and then he prayed a prayer about what God wanted. And he had to make a choice on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane under the pressure of facing the cross for you and I. He said, nevertheless, not my will. So Jesus had a will, but he said, I'm aligning my will to the Father's will. He said, not my will, but thine will, your will be done. Can I say that Jesus was walking by faith at that point? He was in agreement with the revealed will of God for his life. How about you? How about me? I was listening to Jamal Bryant. He's the pastor of New Life Missionary Baptist Church in Lithonia, Georgia. He shared the impact of his mother's teaching on his life. And I don't listen to him all the time, but this time there was something to listen to. She taught him this prayer, and it's powerful. She taught him to pray, Father, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's what you see in prayer when you walk in agreement with God. May I just add, I don't always walk in agreement with God. At that point, I'm not walking by faith. I'm walking by sight. I'm walking about what I want, what I feel, what I assess, what I think I need from God. But I've never prayed to this extent, Father, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That was sound. That's the first sound thing I heard from him. That's what you see in prayer when you're walking by faith. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the word of God says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him in the context of prayer. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir.
My faith is my walk.
Yes, sir.
When I walk in agreement with God.
Yes, sir.
James 4 says this in verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And then James said, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring.
Right.
What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do that or do this. We don't presume that we will live tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. But if the Lord wills, we will accomplish this and accomplish that. That is a man and woman who is walking in agreement with God. And if they're walking in agreement with God, their faith is their walk. Their faith is their walk. Notice so far we have not said that your faith is your walk when you get all you pray for. When God answers you in the affirmative every time you pray. When you have a boatload of material blessings because you prayed. Because the Bible doesn't reveal that.
No, sir.
There are a lot of people that are, quote, blessed materially and dead spiritually, because life doesn't consist in the things one possess. Life consists in the life giver who possesses us. So prayer is a element of walking by faith.
Yes, it is.
If we pray in agreement. Now, secondly, in the area of confessions. Confession. Our confessions to God must be in agreement with his promises, his plan, and his purposes for our lives. When we talk about confession, we're using the word in the Greek, homologeo, homo same, legeo, to speak the same thing that God has spoken, correct? So when we look at this word confession in 1 John 1, 9, we see this word confession, homologeo, to speak the same thing that God has spoken in the context of sin. 1 John 1, 9 said, if we confess, present tense imperative. So that means you got to keep on confessing, because you will always keep on sinning in one way or another. Word, deed, thought, conversation, omission, submission, commission. You're always going to deal with sin as you live in these mortal bodies. You're still here in the flesh. So you're going to all have to be on guard for sin. Because sin is deceptive. It's subtle. Sin doesn't give up. It doesn't give out. And it rarely gives in. Sin is something the Christian will fight until they're glorified. Right? Until we're 6 feet under our bodies and we're in heaven with Christ. But he said if we confess our sins, as plural, S-I-N-S, we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So listen to what John is saying here. The Greek word confess means to say the same thing that God has said about what you're confessing.
Yes, sir.
Call it what God calls it. If you don't call it what God calls it, you're not confessing. You're just admitting you sin. But confessing you sin comes with this. You understand, and you're taking a vow that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, so help you God. Well, this is what confession is like.
Yeah.
Because you're saying what God said about this sin that you're confessing to God.
Yeah.
In order to receive cleansing and to be brought back into harmony and intimacy with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to be brought back into right fellowship with the body of Christ. If it's a sin, call it a sin and not a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. See, God is not cleansing people of mistakes.
Right. No.
He's cleansing people of sins. If it's a sexual sin, don't say, I just slipped. Oh, y'all help me today. Yeah. Call it what it is. Yeah. If you're single, say, I committed fornication. Yeah. I had sexual engagement with a person outside of marriage. Because if you go to God and say, I just slipped, he'll be saying, slip where? Slip how? Slip when? What are you slipping in? God wants you to confess. He wants you to say what he said about the sin that you're confessing. Are y'all with me? I'm still talking about my faith is my walk when I walk in agreement with God. Okay. We're all together. So, if you're married and you engage in sexual activity outside of that marital bond, you don't say, I slipped or I made a mistake. You say, I committed adultery, because that's what God calls it. That's what God calls it in his word. And God is only going to address what he calls a thing, not what we call a thing. Sin is not a mistake. Listen to me. It's a decision. You just made the wrong decision. A sinful, a selfish decision. But it's a decision nevertheless. And that decision is a violation of his commandments.
Yes, sir.
That's what you've done. You made a decision. You didn't slip. You didn't make a mistake. You didn't goof. You made a decision. You made a decision to violate the known will of God for your life. Don't call homosexuality an alternative lifestyle.
That's right.
Or my sexual orientation. Because God doesn't call it that. What does God call it? Sin.
Yeah.
Call it what God calls it. It's a violation of his design for a male and a female. It's a violation against your own body for which it was created for, and that is to bring glory to God. And if anyone agrees with God's truth about that category of sin, homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender, fornication, lust, whatever you want to call it, it's sin. If you agree with God that it's sin, then God can deal with you. God can work on you. God can renew you and revive you, regenerate you and change you. But if you don't walk in agreement with God, you're not going to get God's remedies and solutions for your condition. Beloved, don't call killing life in the womb a choice. Call it what God calls it. Do it lovingly. Do it compassionately. But nevertheless, God said, you shall not murder. Because that's life in the womb. That embryo is alive. That embryo is made in the image of God. It hasn't come to full physical maturity, but it is life nevertheless. So if you call it what God calls it, guess what? You will receive forgiveness.
Amen.
And freedom.
Yes, sir.
Of your sins. That's when you walk in agreement.
Yes, sir.
With God. Can I give you one more? If your speech is vulgar, profane, don't call it freedom of speech. If your speech is hateful and damning of other people, don't call it freedom of speech. There's a whole genre of music back in the 80s called gangster rap. And 2 Live Crew, which was a group out of Florida, took their album and the speech and language in their album before the Supreme Court. And that album, 2 Live Crew, is so sexually gross, so profane, it's so much vulgarity in this album. Best-selling album. During that era. And when you bought that album, there was a sticker on it. R. just letting you know that the content in here may be offensive to you. But guess what the Supreme Court called it? Freedom of speech. They won the case, and the record sales went up even more. You won't receive forgiveness from God when you call profanity, vulgarity, freedom. There's no forgiveness for that. Because you haven't agreed with God that your speech contradicted the purpose for which God made it. When it comes to salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says you must confess, say the same thing that God has said about what now? In the context of salvation, about Jesus. Remember the verse? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess, homologeo, say the same thing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So you said you're agreeing now with God that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart, yeah, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Homologeo. You're confessing what God says is the confession that confirms one's salvation. Are you living in agreement with God today? Are you living in agreement with God from the heart? Because that's where the faith walk begins. My faith is my walk when I walk in agreement with God. Oh, I don't want to go any further, beloved. There's just so much to deal with. But let me give you the first part of the second point. My faith is my walk when my aim is to please God. I hope you see what's happening here. All of these things I'm talking about defines real faith. Agreement with God. An aim to please God. Let me throw the last one to you so you'll know. My faith is my walk when I'm being an ambassador for Christ. So when you look at the word agreement and aim and being an ambassador for Christ, these are the elements of true faith and a faith walk. My faith is my walk when my aim is to please God. Where do we see that in our text? In Hebrews 11, 5, it says, Enoch was well pleasing to God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch lived by faith and not by sight. He had an eternal perspective on his earthly situation. Sometimes we have mistaken the notion that God is very hard to please. You know why? Because we're hard to please. So we see God from our experience. So if you know you're hard to please, you're going to project that image onto God. Why? Because you haven't really looked at what it means to please God himself. You please God with faith. And that faith is given to you by grace. And it's not of your works, lest you should brag and boast. It is, come on somebody, it's a gift of God. But when you say it's hard to please God, you're really, it's hard to please me. Why? Because to please me, you don't need faith. You need something else. And you can define what that something else is. Well, if you're going to please me, you got to agree with what I'm saying. Well, see, that's what we say. That's horizontal relationship. That's interpersonal conflict. I got to agree with you. So if I agree with you, then I please you. If I please you, then you'll give me what I want. See, that's the games people play in interpersonal relationships. You take the back seat for me, put me in the forefront, and then, oh, you my friend now. But then when I want to be in the back seat, I want to sit up in the front seat. Then there's conflict. See, because I'm not playing this interpersonal relationship game. You know, you've been there with people who wanted you to play second fiddle to them when you could play first seat. And you went along just to get along because you didn't want any conflict in your relationship with that person. See, that's what we do. We make it hard for people to please us. Because we don't use faith. We use feelings. And it's hard to please a feeling. I can please your feeling for an hour, but that next hour, that feeling has changed. I feel different now, Kim. I feel different about this. I feel, but that hour, you had me for that hour, girl. But now I want something else that's going to make me feel good. I want something else going to be pleasurable to me. I want something else. You see what we do? So in interpersonal conflicts, we make it hard for people to please us. But God doesn't make it hard for us to please him. We make it hard for us to please him by not pleasing God the way he wants to be pleased. By faith, by trust, loyalty, and dependency upon his character. Yet God knows our weaknesses and frailties better than anyone. And he is not as hard to please as you might think. So how do we please God? Let me give you one and we're going to close. God is pleased when, in spite of the fact that we are in the right, we patiently endured what is wrong. Oh, Lord, I can't do that on my own, Jesus. Because when I'm in the right, I'm going to speak out loud in protest and tell you I'm right. Who in their right mind would just take the back seat on this thing? Sometimes, oh, beloved, can I say it this way? 1 Peter 2. Go to 1 Peter 2. If you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to like this verse. You're not going to like this verse. This verse is going to be anathema to you. You're going to say, I don't like that one, preacher. I like that other verse, but this verse, I don't think I can do it. 1 Peter, chapter 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 19 and 20. 19, for this is commendable. It's commendable. If, because of conscience toward God, one endures what? Grief. Suffering wrongfully. You see that? Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God. God said, look, if you're being chastised for doing wrong and you take it with endurance, that's good for you. You should take it. You did it. But if you suffer for doing right and you do it with endurance and you do it in joy, that's commendable to God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we heard that. Because the aim in being treated unjustly is to please God, not to vindicate ourselves. In your relationship with your spouse, it's not to get them back because of the wrong they've done to you. It is to please God even though they've done wrong to you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Y'all going to make me run. When you do what is right and patiently endure suffering for it, that is called meekness. And it pleases God. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And it pleases God. God is also pleased, lastly, when children obey their parents.
Yes.
Children, God is pleased with you. He gets pleasure from you when you obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3:20 says, and it's also in Ephesians 5:1, I believe, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then when you worship, I told you I'm going to end there, but you know a preacher say three times. And then he's going to end on the third point. Hebrews 13:15-16. We please God when we suffer for the right and not try to vindicate ourselves in our interpersonal conflict and relationships. It pleases God when we do that. Isn't that amazing? Because the first thing we think, retaliation. Get them back. Choke their neck. Knock them out. Deprive them of something you have that they want. That's not a walk of faith. That's a walk of vengeance. So we see it in conflict. We see it in parenting. But look at it in worship. Hebrews 13, 15, 16. If you're there, say amen. Through him, that's Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. They bring pleasure to God. Oh, this is wonderful that you and I, by faith, can bring pleasure to God. And he has a higher standard than any mere sinful, selfish human being. And we break our necks trying to please people who don't appreciate what we're trying to do. And God is saying, if you do this by faith, you will please me. And you don't have to break your neck. You don't have to jump through no hoops. You don't have to play the fool anytime. You don't have to play the fool no time, because you're walking by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its ability to convict us, to convert us, to counsel us, to call us out of darkness and sin and selfishness, to draw us into the light of truth and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, to make us more than conquerors through him. God, help us to walk in that victory that you have given us through Christ, and that is our faith in him, the one who conquered sin, death, and the grave, the one who ascended and will come again, the one who sent the Holy Spirit to indwell and infill and empower and enable us to live out this Christian life in a supernatural way. Breathe on us, Spirit of the living God. Make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And to please you with our time, our talents, our treasures, our passions, our purposes, our plans, our aspirations, whatever it may be. May we please you in every area of life, so that you and you alone may receive all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.